across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Yes, that's me. Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, April 18th, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you're joining us instead over the Civic Media app or watching us on social media or joining us on demand as a podcast, we love having you here just the same. I got a question for you. Did you know Wisconsin is a 50-50 state politically, that we are very closely divided? And yeah, that's a rhetorical question. Who doesn't know that? But it was reaffirmed yet again by the latest Marquette poll yesterday that showed the presidential race here in Wisconsin is basically a 50-50 affair, 51-49, depending on whether you're talking to registered voters, likely voters, who's in your sample pool. So we'll touch a little bit on the latest Marquette poll during the morning. But again, nothing really surprising in there in terms of attitudes that Wisconsinites have about the issues. And as a result of us living in such a closely divided state, every vote matters. Your vote matters. It has more power than almost anywhere else in the country. So we're glad you tune in here, listen to what the candidates are saying, where they are on the issues. And really the whole philosophy when we started Up North News was that we wanted people to go into the voting booths feeling empowered rather than overwhelmed or underwhelmed, as the case may be. So we hope that we're helpful along that effort. If we're not, you can always call us out on it. We have a phone number here, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call us on that number. You can text us. You can text us through the Civic Media app. You can email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And if you're watching on Facebook, we're on several pages there, including Civic Media, including Up North News. Put a comment there. We may see it. Put it up on screen. All right, coming up in our first hour today, it's Thursday, so we will talk to Joe Zepecki. We're actually going to get a movie review from him because he saw something really interesting he wants to tell us about. But then we're going to go back to basics on Medicaid because, I mean, frankly, there are still folks who, understandably, if you don't deal with these things every day, you're like, well, what's Medicaid versus what's Medicare? Medicare is essentially, you know, old age poverty insurance so that our seniors aren't, you know, poor and destitute and living on the streets. Medicaid is a health insurance program that covers a certain set of Wisconsin's working families. And yet Wisconsin isn't doing all that it could with the Medicaid program known as Badger Care here. There's all kinds of federal funding that Wisconsin's missing out on because certain members of the Wisconsin legislature just want to play politics with people's health insurance. So Joe will talk to us about that coming up. And then in our second hour, we're going to have this week's edition of Women Win Wisconsin, powered by Motherhood for Good, where we're going to meet another candidate who just believes that, hey, one conversation at a time is one important way to make politics a little less divisive in our state. I mean, just think about the way you would talk to people if you just met them, you know, at a supper club and a friend just introduced you to another friend and you got to talking and you wanted to say something about the issues. You would handle it, you know, politely in a very civil manner. And I say all that on purpose about having a supper club vibe, because that's also the theme from last night's edition of Top Chef Wisconsin, where the chef testants have to put a supper club spin on some high-end dishes you likely will not see on a menu up north. But still, another great episode showcasing the beauty around the Madison area where they were in this week's episode. And Luke Mathers will be on later to tell us all about that. Temperatures at 6 a.m. across Wisconsin, where you find Civic Media Network stations, go like this. It's 43 here on Lake Wissota. Hayward is at 37, Park Falls 38, Wausau 39. Green Bay reporting 46 degrees, La Crosse 47, Wisconsin Rapids 42, Oshkosh 44. It's 43 in Madison, and it's 43 in Waukesha, the sleepy little hamlet just outside Milwaukee, where we find the sleepy little producer of this fine radio program. That would be one Greg Bach. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh.
Hi, Sleepy Bear.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello, everybody. I'm just waking up. I'd like to say something here right now.
Is it going to be because I use the word chef testant? Are you going to jump on that right away?
No, I'm actually going to pay you a compliment.
Oh, by all means, continue.
Before the show started, Pat said that he decided to play hooky today and quote unquote didn't get a lot of work done. Now, before the show starts, 99.99999% of the show is ready to go. So when Pat says he played hooky, I came in about 99.9998% of the show was done. So I want you to know that's how much he cares. When he's playing hooky, he thinks he's slacking. Sir, you haven't seen slacking until you've seen this guy sitting on a couch.
Well, bless your heart. So I know that Joe is going to be talking about a particular movie. And so I just up and said, I'm going to go see this. You know, Sherry was working. I knew she wouldn't be interested in the movie.
Yeah.
I can't tell you the last time I went and sat in a theater by myself just to go see a movie, especially on a weekday afternoon.
Yeah.
And did. And so I'll let Joe talk about it first, and then I'll talk about it later on. But it's both weird, but it's also kind of liberating. It's like, wow, I'm just going to a movie by myself on a weekday.
Yeah. I can't tell you the last time I saw a movie with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Bridget's still not down for movies. Mm-hmm. In the theater. And the last time actually she did go, I couldn't go. So I usually go see like the big comic book movie by myself, like the day it's released, the first showing, just so I can, one, see it, and two, the internet can't ruin it for me.
Yes. Yeah. That's more important than ever these days. I will say for the particular movie that I saw, all of the previews were basically, you know, in a dystopian post-apocalyptic world. And some of them are rooted, you know, in what might be considered real life, and some are fantasy based. And I know there's people that just love all that stuff.
Yeah.
I like to go to a movie to laugh, you know,
folks, you went to go see Barbie.
I did not. I saw Barbie right away last year. In fact, we're going to play a little clip from Barbie later on in today's history lesson. So the movie that I saw was kind of a serious movie, which is a little weird for me. But still, it was such a nice thing. I'm like, I need to do this more often. I need to actually sit at this desk for only 12 hours a day and then go see a movie instead of the usual 14.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll try to do a better job of that.
I believe in you.
Yeah, I believe in me too. And so getting back to the hooky thing and what wasn't ready today. And it's been a long time since we've done this, so I have to explain it again. A lot of times our bumper music is based on each day's history lesson. It might be an artist's birthday. It might be when a song hit number one, whatever the case may be. Today is one of those days where the history lesson is thin, to put it politely. And so there's nothing that says, okay, here's your bumper music for today. Well, long back when Mr. Zommers was sitting in that chair, when Mr. Mathers was sitting in that chair where Greg is, we just decided on days like that, we're going for comfort food. And what is Pat's musical version of comfort food?
Oh, yeah.
Say it with me, Greg.
Yacht rock.
It's yacht rock. So
it's like an extra helping of gravy on them biscuits and gravy.
That's exactly it. Do you want a really dry biscuit from a thin history lesson? No, slather the gravy on that sucker. So when you hear that today going, oh my gosh, is it Michael McDonald's birthday? No, it just has a yacht rocket. And then as we were prepping here, I realized that we have access to some other toys that I'd completely forgotten about. Mike Clemens, who works his tail off all night long. I mean, you talk about a guy putting in the hours. He does leave for the rest of the Dayside crew. You know, he leaves various sports clips. Mm-hmm. Some are play-by-play. Some are post-game press conferences. And I just completely did not take note of it. And I was watching the Brewer game yesterday. It was a matinee game. And realizing, oh, we have a clip of this. And so poor Greg, again, I'm changing things right up until 5:59 in the morning. Oh, can we get this clip? And how do you download this? And so we've got that going for us.
Yeah, and he's scrambling. He's like, I download the clip. It's in the area. Just go ahead. It's like, he makes my job real easy, okay? It's not like, oh, no, Pat's changed his mind.
My staff at the Capitol as a legislator, they are always like, you know, you don't have to be your own staffer here. You can delegate.
Yes.
He's like, I know.
I had the same problem with my old boss who was a person who was an elected official too. I'm like, hey, we're here for you.
I know. How do you solve a problem like a control freak? I don't know. But that does take us to 6:17, a good time to do sports. And so we have an audio that we're going to play. But first, let me set it up by saying the Milwaukee Brewers were just 7 outs away from becoming the victim of a no-hitter by San Diego starting pitcher Michael King. But then in the 7th inning, the Brewers got their first hit and a stolen base, and then another hit. Bryce Terang had singled. He stole second. And then up to the plate, he said, setting up the clip, comes Blake Perkins.
Ground ball left side. It's through base hit. Here comes Terang. Profar's throw to the plate. Not in time. Perkins to second. 1-0 Milwaukee.
Wow, how about that? Blake Perkins, they bring the lefty in. That's his strong side, the right side.
But the Padres' bats were even quieter than the Brewers, and so that 1-0 margin became the final score. It helped Milwaukee avoid a series sweep. Of course, audio thanks to the Brewers Radio Network. Now it's back on the road for a big division trip. 3 games in St. Louis starting tomorrow night, and 4 games in Pittsburgh starting on Monday. You can catch the Brewers on News from the Center in Richland Center, WRGN in Racine, Oshkosh Air Support, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. I think that worked out all right. What do you think?
That was great.
I don't want to be accused more of those clips. Oh, you guys are going to go into sports talk radio. No, I think a clip now and then works.
We can talk a little Brewers. It's fine. If you don't like it, we're not going to spend all 2 hours on it. I wouldn't mind, but you know, hey.
You know who? One of these days, we're out of time, but I have to say, my barber. I've had the same barber for almost 30 years.
Of course you have.
He's got to have the same sports conversation like a dozen times a day. I feel bad
for
him.
I'm a former barber. I get it. You only, Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have to get Dan on one of these days. All right. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin, when you're here, you're up north live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back in a version of a Yacht Rock classic, Summer Breeze, at 6:20 here on this Thursday morning. Again, a reminder, our phone number here is 855-75-CIVIC. Call it, text it, use the Civic Media app. We'd love to have you along on the show. We now know a little bit more about why some Republicans didn't show up in the state capitol for the special session called by Governor Evers of the Joint Finance Committee to maybe free up the money that Republicans have been holding hostage to clean up PFAS contamination from Wisconsin's drinking water supply. And to get there, I need to tell you about the last time Governor Evers called a special session, and it was in part to work on the child care crisis. And the Capitol was filled with child care providers and parents, and they were there to be supportive of the governor's idea and urge Republicans and Democrats to come together and take care of the children and help make sure that child care remained an option. So that would also help with addressing the labor shortage in Wisconsin. And yet, one Republican came into each chamber, the Assembly and the Senate, gaveled the session in, gaveled it out, and it was done. And then we found out later that the Speaker of the Assembly, Robin Voss, wasn't even in the country. He was in Brazil, if memory serves, at a conference. Well, now fast forward to this Tuesday, when again, the Joint Finance Committee was supposed to meet and was supposed to talk about cleaning up some of the polluted water in Wisconsin. And lo and behold, photos start showing up on social media. Wisconsin Republicans at a fundraiser in Washington, D.C. instead. The U.S. House Committee on Administration, which is chaired by Congressman Brian Steil, put a photo on their Twitter page showing a group of Republican legislators joining in with the state's congressional delegation. They were planting a sugar maple tree on the Capitol grounds. The people at the tree planting included Representative Mark Bourne of Beaver Dam, who's a co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, along with Joan Baldwig, Representative Tony Kurtz, Representative Alex Dahlman, all members of the Joint Finance Committee. Also in attendance, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. There was an invitation to the fundraiser that followed in D.C. that the Journal Sentinel got a look at, listing prices ranging from $1,000 per person to attend, $2,500 to sponsor, $5,000 to be listed as a host. And the Journal Sentinel notes it was being held about 850 miles away from the state capitol at the offices of a prominent D.C. lobbying firm. Now, this is not to say that legislators can't have fundraisers or, you know, travel to Washington, D.C. or do other things other than legislating, but it may have been courteous to note when the governor called the special session last week would be to say, hey, we have a previous commitment. How about if we meet you on this day instead and we figure out how we can clean up this polluted water? Instead, the Republicans were just straight up no-shows. And now we know why. There is an unusual story out of Green Bay where, and again, in the sign of the times, the headline from Wisconsin Public Radio says, Green Bay City Council candidate won't concede despite a recount confirming the loss. This is an incumbent Green Bay City Council member, Stephen Campbell, who has said in a court filing he believes, quote, fraud had occurred in the race. The new alders were supposed to be sworn in at Tuesday's council meeting, but only 11 of the 12 council members were able to do so. It's not clear when the council could return to full strength. I assume that's because of the court filing that is keeping the actual winner of the election from taking office. And I think we understand why this is happening. We understand the chain of events that have led to that, where people can now just defy reality and say, I believe there was fraud, and so I will use the courts, I will use whatever tactic possible. It's something they learned not only from Donald Trump, but from Fred Prehn and legislative Republicans, who kept Prehn on the Natural Resources Board for well over a year after the expiration of his term in order to block Tony Evers from putting his nominees on there. Again, all of these things go beyond political mischief. They go far beyond that. It's just downright anti-democracy to symbolically spit in the face of the voters and say, we're not going to recognize what you did. We are going to try to get or hold on to power by whatever means possible. We're going to avoid accountability by any means possible. If that means, you know, delaying trials with endless motions and asking the Supreme Court to declare that presidents have total immunity, whatever it takes to say to the voters, we know better than you who should be running the government. That's what we see. We see things like the impeachment process being abused. We saw that on Capitol Hill yesterday, where the U.S. Senate received the articles of impeachment from the Republican-led House against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. In what was supposed to be the culmination of a real clown car effort to keep the political focus on all those brown people coming across our border rather than working on the policies that would help working families all across Wisconsin and around the country. When you can only stand for being anti-immigrant, you've got to ride that bull all the way. And they did by impeaching a cabinet secretary because they felt like it. They went to the Senate for a trial, and Democrats running the Senate quickly recognized that there had been no high crimes or misdemeanors committed and voted it down, and there was no trial. But then the Republican Senate leader, a guy by the name of Mitch McConnell, gets up and says that Democrats are ruining the traditions of the Senate by not holding a trial for Mayorkas. Really? Mitch McConnell is lecturing about ruining traditions in the Senate? Somebody who not once but twice abused the process of having nominees on the U.S. Supreme Court heard and confirmed. A guy who not once but twice misused their power to not hold Donald Trump accountable in two different impeachment trials. Using impeachment for policy disagreements or for political firings was never normal until recently. We've seen it in the Congress, and we've seen it in the Wisconsin legislature, where Republicans there have fired so many of Governor Evers' appointees. Again, not for any crime or misdemeanor, but have been abusing the process for political power. And now you've got Speaker of the House Mike Johnson trying to advance aid bills to Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and he's having the darndest time because, of course, he has a very thin majority, and people are expecting him to invoke the Hastert rule, named for a pedophile who once served as Republican Speaker of the House, that said, you can't move anything unless a majority of the majority wants it. And Mike Johnson's going ahead anyway with these aid bills, though it might cost him his job, but not before Marjorie Taylor Greene introduced amendments dealing with, and I'm not kidding, space lasers and forcing members of Congress to fight in Ukraine. That's where we're at in Congress these days. Joe Zepecki is next. You're up north. And we're back now with Joe Zepecki on Up North News Radio for this Thursday morning. We're going to do a special emphasis on Medicaid. It's Medicaid Awareness Month, and we often talk about it without really going back to basics on what Medicaid is. But first little Siskel and Ebert at the movies with Joe Zepecki. Joe, how are you?
I'm good. I'm a little tired. I was at the movies late last night, but boy, did I see a good one.
Civil War?
Yes, Alex Garland and A24's Civil War. It is the movie of the moment. It led the box office last weekend. I would hope that it will do so again. I say all this understanding that this lab was like genetically engineered in a lab specifically to cater to my interests and the ways I think about the world. But I am here to really urge anyone who listens to this show to go and give this movie a try, because it will surprise you. It will make you think. It is not heavy-handed. It is not, you know, partisan, but it is a very realistic, you know, use of realism to make audiences think about what it means to be American, what we lose if we lose some of those essential bits of what make us American, and what that might look like in a very well done, harrowing, immersive, loud war movie. But this is not what the trailers sort of portray it as. This is not like a postscript to If January 6th Had Succeeded. This is a journey through the American story through the lens of journalists in a way that I think is often profound while being subtle and will make you think. And that is ultimately the end goal of all art, I hope, or I think. And so I would encourage people to give it a shot.
As somebody who has not seen the trailer, I know literally nothing about this movie. Your audio trailer that you've just provided has me intrigued.
There you go. And less than 2 hours. A lot of movies are so long these days.
People now
are like,
I'm in.
Couldn't possibly. Yeah, it's a quick hour and 45.
Oh, what a relief to not get the looks as the middle-aged guy has to take a bathroom break in the middle of the movie. But we'll dwell on that some other time. Back to Medicaid Awareness Month, the 7th annual, because it is such an important component of keeping healthcare affordable in a country that has such a unique system for how we fund healthcare, meaning the goofiest compared to other developed countries out there. So from the very top, there's still people, and I don't blame them one bit, who get Medicaid and Medicare confused with each other. So can we start with Medicaid, what it is, what it does?
Sure. I it is part of the healthcare mix, right? There is private insurance. There is VA insurance for veterans. There is Medicare for older Americans. And there is Medicaid administered on a state-by-state basis. Here in Wisconsin, we call that Badger Care. And it is a safety net floor coverage for those in socioeconomic hardship who society has decided need to have a baseline level of health coverage, because without it, the rest of us end up paying more for healthcare for everybody. And that last part, I think, is the most important one. Sick people, whether or not they have health insurance, go and get medical care. Injured people, whether they have medical insurance or not, go and get care. The challenge is, without a program like Medicaid, those folks who are at the bottom of the socioeconomic scale, when they get hurt, when they get sick, they go and get the least cost-effective, most expensive emergency care, and the rest of us have to pay for it. And so the calculation and the design of the program is everybody who should have some level of coverage. That is what Badger Care provides. It's what things like the Children's Health Insurance Program provide. And in the last 15 years, there's been a real revolution in how Medicaid is administered and trying to move that floor to get to closer to full coverage. We're not there yet, but a lot of places in this country have made very significant strides in that regard. Sadly, not here.
So to really boil it down to its essence, when people complain saying Medicaid costs us, you know, the taxpayers, a lot of money, what's missing there is somebody to follow up and say, better that than how much it would cost to have all that medical debt.
Correct.
That would pile up instead.
That then providers would put on to those who do have health insurance. Or, right. You know, the most of the hospitals and medical providers in this country are for profit. And if they are taking an L on folks who come into their emergency rooms and they are required to treat them, those costs have to be defrayed somewhere, somehow. And so either private, privately held insurance companies and their end users will end up footing the bill for it, or the government will have to pay the highest premium for it to keep those providers in business. Whereas if you have some established reimbursement rates and a Medicare coverage, if people know that they can go to the doctor if they are feeling ill, and we can catch some of these things earlier, that's where preventative healthcare is so important, because when things are an emergency, when people are the sickest or the most badly injured, that's when it costs the most. This helps actually push down the cost of healthcare for everybody.
So when those Republicans who are still adamantly opposed to pretty much any form of Medicaid, much less an expansion, when Assembly Speaker Robin Voss repeatedly refers to Medicaid as welfare, he's really coming back to the crux of that government should do as little as humanely possible and leave it up to a lot of really rich people to help fund our schools and pay for our health care and everything else?
Yeah, it's a worldview. Say what you will about the tenets of Robin Voss's approach to Medicaid, but at least it's an ethos comes to mind. Since we're with the cinema approach today, a little Big Lebowski reference for your listeners. But listen, what it also is a slap in the face to 14 million rural Americans. You know, Robin Voss would love for you to believe that the only people who are on Medicaid are poor Black people in Milwaukee. And that is the way that so many Republicans characterize and try to stigmatize in opposition to Badger Care. But the reality is 14 million rural Americans and many rural Wisconsinites rely on Medicaid to set that floor and ensure they have some basic level of health coverage so that the rest of us don't end up footing the bill.
And then in terms of those rural Americans, now again, even with an expanded Medicaid program, there's still millions who are uninsured, again, because it's not doing all that it could, nor is the private insurance market, right?
Correct. There are still about 1.5 million rural Americans who have not been able to get onto Medicaid. We Wisconsin are one of 10 states remaining, maybe 9 actually at this point, who have yet to expand Medicaid. And the argument for expanding Medicaid is a couple of fold. First and foremost, the state would be able to cover more people while at the same time spending fewer state tax dollars. And that sounds like an impossibility, but that's where the federal support comes in. The federal government has said, if you raise the eligibility requirements for your Medicaid program to ensure more people have access to affordable health care coverage, the feds are going to help you pay for it. We're already sending federal tax dollars to the U.S. Treasury. It is tax week. Monday was tax day.
Mm-hmm.
Our tax dollars, Wisconsin taxpayers who are sending money to the federal government, which is patriotic, by the way. Taxes are patriotic, I will remind everyone.
Right. Yes.
Those dollars are now going to subsidize Medicaid care in 40 other states, but not Wisconsin, because of the intransigence of Robin Voss and his Republican colleagues in the state legislature. And so we can, as a state, draw down some of those federal bucks that we're sending there anyways, cover more Wisconsinites, and have more flexibility within our state general purpose revenue fund to invest in other things we care about, like education, infrastructure, transportation, you name it. And what the ultimate impact of Medicaid is that right now there are folks who know that if they go beyond those pretty low income thresholds, if they take an extra shift, if they work full-time instead of part-time, the hit that they would take on having to buy private insurance is so scary that they're willing to just say, like, you know what? I know the people talk about a workforce shortage and maybe the economy needs more workers, but I can't afford to go beyond the Medicaid eligibility requirements. If we expanded Medicaid, those eligibility requirements would increase. You could actually free up some more workers for the state economy.
And I was going to say, from an economic standpoint, a state economy, a local economy, a rural economy, what kind of impact are we talking about on rural hospitals and, you know, rural physician recruitment and retention, things like that?
Yeah, there's just no question that Medicaid expansion nationally has been good for rural hospitals. Listen, it is a tough time to be a rural hospital in the state of Wisconsin. We've just seen the announcement of these recent closures and clinics in February. Our failure to expand Medicaid is exacerbating the crisis in rural healthcare. When Protect Our Care looked at all 10 of the remaining non-expansion states, so Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Kansas, Mississippi, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Wyoming, and Wisconsin. How do we feel about being lumped in with those states, folks? The very percentage of rural healthcare facilities operating at a negative margin has grown over the last year. 51% of hospitals were in the red. Now it's 55%. And that's where Medicaid, the expansion, reimbursement rates, all of this works together to help keep rural hospitals, rural healthcare providers in business. And I don't need to tell anybody in the rural parts of the state listening to the sound of my voice right now how dire the challenge is, how scary it can be when you are 30, 45, 60 minutes away from the nearest healthcare provider, when you start to think about travel times for emergency services to get to your farm or your retirement community or your house outside of town. And when you start to think about travel times for emergency services to get to you and then to turn around and get back to a healthcare facility, this is a real problem. And it's worse and worse all the time as these clinics are closing, as hospitals in Northwest Wisconsin are closing. this is an issue, and policymakers in Madison could make a different choice. Republicans could finally stop the hold on expanding Medicaid, and it would make it easier for these rural providers to turn a profit or to at least break even. If they continue to be in the red, you're going to continue to see closures and less access to healthcare of any kind, not just for people on Medicaid, but for people with private insurance, because these hospitals serve everybody.
So, again, if you don't want Wisconsin lumped into that rogues gallery of states, then make sure you talk to your legislative candidate about the importance of Badger Care. All right, we're all encompassing today. We've done movie talk. We've talked about, you know, political issues. Time for sports now. The Bucks first round playoff series tips off Sunday against the Indiana Pacers, who beat the Bucks 3 out of 4 times in the regular season. So I'm nervous. How are you?
Much like my political approach, I worry about everything, but I panic about nothing. The closest to panic is if Giannis really isn't available for the bulk of this series. He is, of course, working through the calf strain. If he's healthy, and I don't believe they're going to put him out there if he's not healthy, we should be fine. The Pacers, who beat us 3 of the 4 times we played them in the regular season, are not the same team that they were. Tyrese Halliburton has had an injury. They've added some pieces. They've lost some pieces. I still am not hitting the absolute panic switch, but there's no doubt this is going to be a tough series, and it's on nobody but the Bucks, because we blew it down the stretch. And, you know, if we go down 2 games in this series, look out, fellas.
Yeah, and I'm just tired of Doc Rivers. It's never his fault. So, I mean, I really need this guy to step up as well. Joseph Pecky, thank you so much. Have a good weekend. We'll have something to talk about by next week with the Bucks, I'm sure. Have a great day.
All right, take care. Bye.
For more after this, you're up north.
Good day. Welcome to our single. I'm Bob McKenzie, and this is my brother Doug. How's it going, eh?
Beauty. Welcome to today's history lesson. Okay. Here's Bob and Doug.
Okay, everyone. This record was my idea.
Get out.
It was. You're lying. Hose hit here just sort of rid on my coattails.
Why are you doing this? It was our idea together, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Actor Rick Moranis has a birthday today. Oh, 71 years old. Along with Geddy Lee from Rush helping them out. Greg, as a comedy club, as a man of the comedy clubs, were you on SCTV?
Oh, God. Oh, my God. SCTV.
That's good, huh?
SCTV for me has, first of all, when you put Bob and Doug McKenzie along with one of the greatest lead singers ever, come on, man. Come on. SCTV in my heart holds such a deep place because it was, I watched it when it was on reruns, and I don't even remember when it played, but I would catch it and I would see these sketches that, you know, SNL had some fun and weird sketches. SCTV sketches were weird.
So much more imaginative.
Yeah.
And for folks, we should have gone back to basics. SCTV is Second City TV,
yeah.
Born of the Second City comedy troupe in Chicago, right?
Chicago, Toronto.
And yeah,
mainly
Toronto,
those two places, but yep. There's some other locations. But yeah, SCTV is born out of Canada, mm-hmm. And it was made on, like, if I'm not mistaken, I feel like they said they had like a $5,000 budget for every episode, and it would come out once a month. And it was really, mm-hmm. The history of SCTV is so beautiful and rich. And there isn't a single person who came from that show who didn't end up, in my opinion, becoming a comedy legend.
Right. You've got Catherine O'Hara. You've got Eugene Levy. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. You can just go on and on.
Rick Moranis.
John Candy.
Dave Thomas. Robin Duke. Tony. Oh, I can't remember his last name right now. Here I say he's a comedy legend. I can't remember his last name. You know,
that's
Joe.
Nothing against him. That's
Joe
us.
Flaherty, who we just lost.
Joe Flaherty, who passed away. Yes. Yes.
Harold Ramis was even on the show for a moment. I mean, yep. You want to see some amazing, and the great thing too, it was born out of a world, so it wasn't like disparate sketches. It was a universe.
It was a network. They were spoofing them a network and all the different shows that would be on the network. like that one for the Great White North.
Yeah.
Let's see. Comedian ventriloquist Jeff Dunham is 62 today. Conan O'Brien, quite the comedy day, 61 years old today. Kourtney Kardashian, not a comedian, is 45
but
today.
Funny in her own right.
But funny. Yeah, there's definitely some of us who enjoy a good laugh now and then. The number one song on this day in 1987, Aretha Franklin and George Michael.
When the river was deep, I didn't falter. When the mountain was high, I still
believe. When the valley was low, he didn't stop me. For Aretha Franklin, this was her first number one song since Respect in 1967.
What?
So a 20-year period, the longest period of time at that point between number one hits. But at that point, she was starting to embrace, you know, pop music, not just R&B. And that duet worked. That worked really well. And then she came out with, you know, Who's Zoomin' Who and others from that point on. On this day in 1506, the cornerstone of the current St. Peter's Basilica was laid. On this day in 1906, an earthquake and fire destroyed much of San Francisco. Dick Clark passed away on this day in 2012 at the age of 82. And on this day in 1984, one actress America Ferrera was born. That makes her 40 years old today. And again, because we don't have a lot of music in today's history lesson, I thought, and I don't think this is a spoiler alert, I'm just going to play some of one of the best clips from the movie. And this is her monologue from the Barbie movie about what it's like to be a woman in America in the 21st century.
You have to be a boss, but you can't be mean. You have to lead, but you can't squash other people's ideas. You're supposed to love being a mother, but don't talk about your kids all the damn time. You have to be a career woman, but also always be looking out for other people.
And on it goes. It is so worth it.
But if you point that out, you're accused of complaining. You're supposed to stay pretty for men, but not so pretty that you.
People said, like, oh, she got the Academy Award for the speech. I'm like, yeah. Or she got the nomination. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Look, here's the thing. We have our kids doing, you know, Shakespeare in school or redoing the Gettysburg Address or things like that. Here's what kids in the future are going to do. They're going to be reciting this monologue. They're not going to be reciting what Trump said at Gettysburg the other day or in Pennsylvania where he's like, Gettysburg. Wow. That speech is not going to be told anymore. This will.
Robert E. Lee and his stupid troops.
All right. On the national calendar today, I got to lead with this one because we got a song for it.
Oh, you do.
Today is Lineman Appreciation Day. Whoever thought there'd be a big song about a lineman, but Glenn Campbell did it.
Goosebumps.
Uh-huh.
I am a lineman for the county.
I know, I can't sing.
This is one of those weird times when we both realized we gelled on something. He's like, I love this song so much. And I'm chatting back, me too.
Yeah, I was telling, and Pat said, why is this song so good? I'm like, because it's a song about a mundane job. And then kaboom, love song. Like
it, love song, yeah.
And the strings, I got goosebumps, Pat. I have goosebumps from this song.
Oh, and the solo on the bass, you know, in the middle of the song, or maybe not some bass, but whatever it is. Oh, Jimmy Webb wrote this and so many other classics. And it just, yeah, still gives me goosebumps when I hear it. And if I had any kind of a younger singing voice, I would try, you know, trying to hit these higher notes would be fun to try. At my age, it's now life-threatening, so I don't.
I need a small vacation.
But it don't look like rain.
But don't look like rain. That's the oh God.
If
folks,
it snows, that stretch down south won't ever stand the strain. The man knows what he's talking about. He's a lineman for the county.
Folks, hour two is going to be devoted entirely to Wichita linemen. That's what we're talking about for the entirety of hour two.
Back to the calendar for today. This is National Teen Literature Day, National Adult Autism Awareness Day, International Jugglers Day.
Okay.
It's National Pinata Day. It is Auctioneer's Day, and it is World Amateur Radio Operators Day. So if you fit in one of those categories.
Pat, I just wanted really quick. It was Tony Rosato, and I forgot Andrea Martin and Martin Short.
Martin Short, of course. The
bangers.
The people that came out of SCTV were just legendary. And, you know, you knew at the time, like, these guys are all special, but you didn't think it'd that they were all legends right there.
Yeah.
But they were, when you see all the things that they've done since that time. So
fantastic.
It was it was a very fun show to watch, and glad we could mark it for the birthday for one Rick Moranis for today. Coming up in our second hour, our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good. We will have a bit of a supper club vibe in our next hour, basically how to have these nice, friendly conversations on the campaign trail with folks, and then the supper club theme from Top Chef last night. We'll talk about that with Luke Mathers. That's all coming up in our second hour on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.